Let me welcome you to our worship today. My name is David Langwisch. I'm pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church here in Lakewood, Colorado. As we worship today, it doesn't matter where each of us is located because God finds himself present among us, and we are bonded by something deeper than time and space, the very word of God and the presence of Jesus Christ. So blessings in this time of worship. We will be taking Holy Communion later on. Now, if that's something new, you're unfamiliar, you have some questions, don't worry about that. I'd love to talk with you about that. And also, as giving an offering is part of our worship life, obviously you can't do that online, but go to our website at BethlehemDenver.com. I'd love to have you be a part of what we're doing in our ministry here. And with that, let's worship. And let's do it in the name of our God, the God who has always been the only true God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. Not despise the cross, for even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son. Praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till the stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever. I wonder if I'll ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground?
Today's cross words are pretty simple. Be holy. Be holy. And as we'll read in two of our readings today, we're called to be holy because God is holy. We have a standard that we're called to meet, to hold ourselves to. And if we're honest, man, we are not holy. We do not treat others the way that God wants them to be treated. We don't even treat ourselves the way God wants us to treat ourselves. And we certainly don't worship Him in spirit and in truth. We don't love Him with our whole heart. So with all of this, with our unholiness, let us go before the Lord, confess our sins, and ask that He make us holy. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for today. Lord, we thank You for creating us and for creating others. But Lord, we come before You as people who are not holy, as people who sin against You and against others in thought, word, and deed. Lord, we don't meet Your standard. And Lord, we pray that You forgive us, that You once again pay the ransom for us with the blood of Jesus, that for His sake we may be Your children, that we may serve You. Forgive us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, as you are about to hear in our epistle reading and again in our sermon, God does make us holy. With the blood of Jesus, He washes us clean and we are made holy. Your sins are forgiven. You are holy in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As God's people, we hear His word. And again, we're going to hear twice how we are called to be holy. The first time is in Leviticus chapter 19. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make for yourselves any gods of cast metal. I am the Lord your God." This is God's word. We'll hear those words again, "be holy," in our epistle reading, our New Testament reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, which is the basis for our message today. Peter writes, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." This too is God's word. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, part of Jesus' high priestly prayer. Jesus prayed for His disciples, "But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one,
so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the gospel of our Lord, and together as God's people, we are bold to confess who we believe him to be, today using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for your kindness and your love and your grace. But sometimes, Lord, we take that for granted and we do not hear your words to be holy, to be righteous, to attend to things that are not right in our life. And we want to hear that, Lord, not simply because it pleases you, but because it's always damaging to us when we live in sin and we're not in concord with you. So help us, Lord, to see the value of holiness as those who have been made holy through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about holiness today. But I do have to ask you, is this an uphill battle? I mean, is holiness something that people value? Is it important to you? You know, back in 1962, Bob Marley came out with a song, Judge Not. Listen to one line from that song. Who are you to judge the life I live? I know I'm not perfect, and I don't live to be. But before you start pointing fingers, make sure your hands are clean. How about that? I know I'm not perfect, and I don't live to be. And I'll tell you, there maybe even is a little bit of value now in our society at not being all holy and perfect and pure. American author, journalist, historian Shelby Foote once said, I abhor the idea of a perfect world. Isn't that crazy? He says, I abhor the idea of a perfect world. It would bore me to tears. So I think it's a fair question. Is holiness something that you value? Now, holiness, it means more than just perfection, which we're going to see in just a little bit here. But it definitely does include, you know, kind of matching this holy, this perfect standard, like being righteous, being pure. In fact, what does God say in our reading from 1 Peter chapter 1? But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And what Peter is doing, he's just restating what God had said thousands of years before when he said, you shall be holy as I am holy. Jesus reinforces on the Sermon on the Mount when he says, you be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And even now today, in our crosswords sermon series, the crossword, the hard word that confronts us today is what? Be holy. Be holy. And all that goes along with that. And so we're going to take a look at this, what holiness means, perfect holiness. All. But I have to ask you, and this is an honest question. Do you want to be? Do you want to be holy? Really? Well, let's examine what the Bible says that means. As we look at our text here, we find out that it's somehow our holiness is connected to who God is. And so the Leviticus reading that Peter uses here, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." That tells us here, it's anchored in God, that there's this, some of this is what I'm going to call just righteous standard. Like God says, if I do this, you do this. If I'm this way, you better be this way. And you know what? I mean, it's legitimate, isn't it? It's kind of like a franchised restaurant. Like a local McDonald's is not free to determine whatever food they want to make, however they want to make it, and sell it at whatever price they want to sell it, right? Okay. The franchisor, McDonald's Inc., right, determines all of that and rightfully expects that there's going to be compliance with that. Or guess what? You can't be a McDonald's restaurant. There's just a righteous standard. There's a holy standard. Not exactly a holy standard necessarily with McDonald's, but with God there is, right? So God is just exercising his franchisor rights. There's this holy standard. But you know, there's also kind of a family connection here as well. God is our Father, right? God is our Father, and we're his children, and we're all part of the family. And that family name means something. I mean, you just act a certain way when you're a part of the family. But there's an even deeper appeal to be holy, one that goes to the core of who we are. You see, the essence of God is that he's holy. His essence is he's holy. He's pure. He's without sin. He is uncorrupted, and he's uncorruptible. Now, one of the things that Jesus does as he comes as our Savior is he gives us this essence of God as a gift. One of the things that you and I receive when we have faith in Jesus is this reality that we're holy and pure. We're without sin because of him. We're uncorrupted and uncorruptible. And if it's true, then it seems to make sense that we want to live that way, that we would want to be holy. But maybe help us process this. It'd be good to look at what this holiness is not. And, you know, it stands in contrast to something as well. And here in our reading from 1 Peter, we hear it described as this. This is in verse 14. Do not be conformed to the, and here it is, the passions of your former ignorance. Passions. Okay, now this is not all passions life. I mean, you can have passions for some really good things. These are bad passions. Deceptive passions. It's wrong and impure desires, lusts. Because what happens when you conform to those passions is a bad thought, idea becomes now a bad action, becomes sinful. And this is where it really gets tricky, because Peter says that this comes up from our former way of living. These things come from the past. So even though maybe you've turned the corner on a certain way of living or behavior, the passion for that might still linger. Now, those of you who like kicked some habit, you understand this, right? Let's say you haven't smoked for years, but if the opportunity came and wouldn't matter, man, you would light up like that, because that passion still sticks its nose into your life. But the Bible says, don't conform to those passions. Don't give in. Don't do it. Be holy. And to help us in this, Peter gives us some really good ideas and suggestions on why and reasons why we shouldn't give in. And it starts with this verse, it's ignorance. And we heard it said, it's the passions from your former what? Ignorance. Now, I don't want to be insulting or offend anyone here, but sin is stupid. Sin is stupid. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing, it's in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. He talks about sin as contaminating. He says it contaminates body and soul. Then Peter says it's futile. In other words, it is unprofitable. It's useless. It doesn't bear fruit. It doesn't get the job done. It doesn't provide what it promises. And, you know, I'm thinking, where else in our life would we put up with that? You know, imagine you go to work every day. And on your way in, you see this vending machine. You pass right by this vending machine that has some of those irresistible Funyuns that you know are so good for your body. So you deposit $1.50 into that vending machine, eagerly anticipating the joy that's about to come to you, and nothing comes out of the machine. And so you bang it, you give it a few verbal words of encouragement, and still nothing. So you walk away, $1.50 poor. Next day, same thing happens. Put in $1.50, nothing comes out. Next day, same thing happens. At some point, you stop putting money into the vending machine, right? It is futile. It is futile. So if we wouldn't tolerate that with a vending machine, why do you tolerate it with your sin? Oh, but I'm getting something out of that. Well, maybe, but it's not what you want. Sin is futile. It's unprofitable. It's useless. It does not produce fruit. It's not the fruit that you want. Sin doesn't get the job done. And it doesn't deliver on your promises, what it promises. Now, Peter gives us one more really good reason why we should not give. And it's in verse 17, because we call on a God who's our Father, who judges impartially. So even if you've convinced yourself that, you know, conforming to your passions is not stupid, it actually is delivering something that you like, you still don't want to mess with it, because you're going to stand before a judge. And that judge doesn't care who you are or what your excuses are. He judges impartially. But we'll be forgiven, right? But yeah, that right? Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But be holy. Be holy is what the Bible says. And it certainly it includes, you know, aiming for perfection. But it's more than that. That word holy in the Bible means to be set apart. Whatever is holy, it's no longer for common use. It's kind of like maybe that good china that some of you have. It's not for every day. And you know what? You treat it a little bit differently. Sometimes, you know, you hand wash it because it's special. If you are holy, you are set apart. You're special. You're important. You're valuable. And there are just certain things. There are certain uses that are no longer for you. You know, imagine you had a favorite shirt. Okay, and it cost you a lot of money. But, oh my gosh, it matches your coloring. It fits you really well. Makes you look amazing. And you only wear it for special occasions. You don't dare put it in the washing machine. Like, you gently hand wash it, hang it, dry, carefully put it on its special hanger. Let's say you come down one day and you see that someone who's going to remain unnamed in this story has used your shirt as a stain rag for a wood project that he is, or she, that he's working on, she's working on. So after the murder trial, and you have some time to think, what's the problem? That shirt was holy. It was set apart. It wasn't a rag meant to be soiled and discarded. It was special. It was important. It was valuable. So are we. We are holy. And that means that we want to be holy. But this holiness, it's anchored in the gospel. I mean, because you cannot understand the command to be holy without understanding God's promise that you are holy. What does Peter say? He wants us to understand that we have been ransomed from an old way of life. And listen to this. He says, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And if we have been made holy, if that precious blood has been applied to us in that way, then, I mean, we must be holy. And that's what the blood of Christ does. It makes people holy, regardless of their sin, regardless of the stupidity of the sin, regardless of the futility of the sin, regardless of the righteous judgment that is deserved because of the sin. God's blood in Christ, right? Christ's blood makes holy the unholiest of people. And that's me. And that's you. So what does God say to you and me, we who have been made holy? He says, be holy in all your conduct. All your conduct. Live out that holiness. But keep it gospel-centered. You want to keep it anchored in Him, because holy conduct that it's called for here, if that holy conduct does not first pass through a holy identity, which we have in Christ, it's just a rebranding of moralism. It's just more of the be a good person. Holiness is anchored in the gospel. And allow me to say a word about that, about the gospel, because the gospel is more than, oh, you sin. Oh, don't worry. You're forgiven. Because, you know, too many people then, they'll just stay in this cycle of sin, banking on it. Well, it's somehow okay because I'm forgiven. No, we're ransomed. We're ransomed. We're released. We're set free from the horrible past, horrible present, and a future as well. It's like the Apostle Paul said to young Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, 1 verse 9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Let me close with just a little bit more specificity about that holy life. Peter puts some flesh on these bones, what it means here to be holy. Verse 13, okay? First of all, it says this is about preparation, okay? It's about preparation. It says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. Holiness isn't by accident. Holy life isn't by accident. We are called to think about it and do what? Prepare our minds for holiness. Prepare for holiness. Plan righteous living in advance. You know, think of the Olympics. Michaela Schifrin did not win yet another gold medal just by what she did on a mountain in Italy on February 18th. She won that event long before, in the thousands of hours that she put in training, repetitions, other competitions, breaking the body down, building it back up. Preparation is what wins the Olympics. And the event, just a chance to show how well you prepared. So prepare your mind for action, for holiness. It's how you're going to win. Now, second thing is to take this seriously. The word that our text uses here is sober-minded. Holiness is serious business. It's not a game. Sin isn't to be laughed off or worse yet bragged about. Now, the life we have in Christ is a life of joy, but it is a joy that has passed through some very sobering moments of confession, repentance, and discipline. So don't toy with sin. Don't toy with sin or it'll toy with you. Focus. Take it seriously. Be sober-minded. And then lastly, Peter says this, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, you know, as much as we talk about holy living and this holy living that we want to reflect our holy calling, our hope is not in our holy living. It's not anything we do. Start to finish, our hope is fully set on the grace of Jesus Christ, which will shine its brightest at his second coming. Set your hope there. And because Christ has made you holy, be holy in all your conduct. Prepare your mind. Be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on his grace. Amen. As we think about the grace of God, it's what invites us into our time of prayer with him as well. He receives us by grace. We're part of his family. We're on the inside here. Holy people going to their holy God. So let's pray. Lord God, to think that holy is a word that describes us is hard for us sometimes. And we realize that is the declaration of the gospel. It is reality. And right now we see it with eyes of faith as we are at the same time saint and sinner. We still struggle and those passions still linger. Help us to stand firm in all our conduct, Lord. Help us to be holy. I pray that for our ministry, that would be honorable in dealing with people, that you would bless our team, all of us, Lord, the team in our early learning center, our school, as we reach out to the working poor and homeless in our church, some who are in our ministry support. I mean, there are a lot of people, Lord, who are all part of carrying this mission we have forward. And Lord, we're looking at now that happening in Littleton, and I know there are many challenges that come with that. And I know, Lord, people have concerns. Sometimes are we stretching ourselves too thin? What, you know, all of that, Lord, and pray all of that would come under your guidance, your blessing, especially as we're working with the 5-2 network and they're helping us to think and act strategically about what you are calling us to do. So bless things, Lord, as we think especially about the next 5 years. Help us, Lord, to look at those years with ambition of what you could and hopefully will do through us. And it is through us, Lord, through all of us. Please free us from the type of ministry that continues to think of things other people should be doing. And help us all, Lord, to step to the plate and use our gifts, use our resources, our talents, our ideas, whatever it is, Lord, for the furthering of your kingdom. We pray for the part of Bethlehem we call our care point in San Antonio, Suchitepeque, Guatemala. Be with Angelica and all of the staff. Be with the children, their families. Bless the teams that travel down there. And continue, Lord, to put on people's hearts, making a trip, maybe this next November, maybe sometime this next year during a spring break. I don't know, Lord. But I know you work awesome, life-changing, faith-changing things. And Lord, as we pray these things, we pray for those in our community who are struggling, those who are hurting, those who need healing, those dealing with cancers, neurofibromyalgia, neurofibromatosis, immunity diseases. There are a lot of things, Lord. There are just so many things. Sometimes it seems overwhelming. And there are some great medicines, Lord, but continue to bless those who do research in the medical field, treatments, discernment for doctors in diagnosing these things. And Lord, I just pray healing, and that in the healing, we would give honor and praise to you. In that healing, we would see you as our God. And all of these things, those who pray them, Lord, it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's brought us together, and just pray that we would be grounded and founded in him as we pray together that prayer which he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It's hard for us to fully understand the concept of holiness and righteousness. But one thing the scriptures say about the blood of Jesus Christ is that it is holy and makes us holy. And that's what we receive in this meal, Christ's body, Christ's blood, assuring us that our sins are forgiven. And it's a mystery, but isn't it a wonderful mystery? For our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and now to you, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, and again, giving thanks to God, he blessed it and gave it to his disciples, and now to you, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. If you're not receiving communion, God has called you to be his. He loves you and assures you through the waters of your baptism, you're washed anew, you're buried into Christ, into his death and resurrection. And now he empowers you to live as his child faithfully. In God's name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, take and eat. This is the body of your Savior, Jesus Christ, is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And then take and drink. This is Christ's blood, and it is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins.
Oh, the perfect Son of God, and all his innocence, you're walking in the dirt. Hallelujah. stripes, my healing, all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven, your blood still speaking, your love still reaching, all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God forever, your cross.
This eating of Christ's body, this drinking of his blood, strengthen you and preserve you steadfast in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen. And we go from worship with God's blessing. He sure loves you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Oh, it's great worshiping with you. Just want to encourage you, as you're encouraged in your faith, think of the people around you, in your life, your circle of influence, who need that same encouragement. And it might be a conversation you have, something based on the sermon or something based on worship, or maybe you forward this link to them. I don't know what it is, but just know that when you invest in people, God is using that, and he comes alongside of you. That grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with you. So keep loving on. You are changing the world. Love on.